Okay, so it's been a little bit, so it's a little bit before Pesach, so we'll take a break a little bit in the Seder of Hukut Moran that we've been doing. So we'll go to a different piece that's a little bit more Pesach related. So go to piece Lamed, Torah Lamed. It's on in these editions, Mem Aleph and Mebeis. So Torah Lamed is it's a longer Torah, so obviously we're not going to see the whole thing. But just the first couple pieces. The truth is, the first couple pieces, he doesn't mention a word about Pesach, but it is, I think it is relevant to Pesach, or at least a certain aspect of it. Okay. All right. So one of the aspects of Pesach, of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's a little bit, you know, it's definitely not highlighted. Not obviously by the Seder, which is the Gezerah of Parah. Parah makes the Gezerah, as we know in Shemais, right? It makes a Gezerah of Kol Ben Hayilad Hayir Tashlichu V'Chol Abas Dechayim, that the boys should be killed, and the girls should live. So So obviously it doesn't work out, and the simple shot of why he's doing that is because the sorcerers told him, the stargazers told him that the Redeemer of Klal Yisrael is going to be born, and he's going to be a male. So get rid of all the boys. That's the simple story. But we understand that everything. Even Golas, you know, one of the themes of Seder night is Maschil B'Gnos V'Sayim B'Shvach. You have to start in the negative, and then you move to the positive, right? So one of the deeper explanations for that is because the real, the Moichin of Geula is not to just get out of Golas. The Moichin of Geula is to realize how the Golas itself was really just an underdeveloped Geula. It was just an unripened. The same experience that is Geula is the experience of Golas. Just the Golas version of it is an unripened version, you know, a bitter version of itself, which is then unfolded in the Geula. That's why, I mentioned this many times, that's by, according to Rav Tzadik, that's why Geula, the Geula Shlema, is described as a nechama, as a comfort. Pasuk says, Anecha kirochek meni menachem. Mashiach is described as the menachem, the one that comforts. Why? So Rav Tzadik says that the nechama means when it becomes clear that even the situation that the person was mourning was, he shouldn't have been mourning over it because it was taka good, not just good because it let it, like it itself was good. So that's the ultimate geula, is where the geula itself is redefined as really just a the experience of it was Gula itself. It's just that we didn't have the Kalim to process it as such. And then when we have the Kalim, we'll be able to see it. So this Inyan of Parai giving life to the girl, Kalabas Dechayin, right? Giving life to the girl, so to speak. Obviously, V'cholaben ha'yil ha'ert ha'shichu v'cholabas dechayin. So obviously in its Golas version is tragic. That's a gezeirah. But we have to learn that in its Geula version. Like, what does the Geula version of that mean? Of this Inyan of Kol Ben Hayil Eret HaShichu V'Chol Abas Techayim. And how does it relate to Pesach? The truth is, we also find this, that even the Redeemer himself, practically, Moshe Rabbeinu only came to the world because of Miriam, right? Because of his sister, right? So, I mean, we have to appreciate that. Amram, the Rambam says, Chazal say, Amram was the Godel Hador. And in those days, Kibbutz Aveim was much more serious than it is now. So there's Kibbutz Aveim, and your father is the Godel Hador, and Miriam was only 5 years old at the time. So, and she goes to Amram, and she doesn't say, you know, like the Gemara says in Kiddushin, if you see your father do something wrong, you have to say, you know, I learned one day in Cheder that there's a Pasuk, Epis, you know, you have to... She says, your gezeiras are worse than Parai's. Parai is only being geyser on the boys, and you're being geyser on the boys and the girls. It's a very strong, and she, because she knew that I keep it of aim, Klai Yisrael's at stake. So it's So you see, and the redeem, and Moshe Rabbeinu was then born, right? Amram and Yocheved get back together, and he's born because of that experience, because of that those words of Amram of Miriam. See this inyan of Kol Haben Ayil Eretz Hashlichu V'Chol Bastachayin is that somehow that's a necessary process over here. In order for the Ben, which is Moshe Rabbeinu in this particular case, to emerge, it has to come preceding that. There has to be this inyan of Bas Techayin, of the Bas becoming a little bit more dominant. So, and that's the prerequisite. You can't just have a Ben Hayilah. You can't just have Moshe Rabbeinu born and the boys are... It has to be preceded. Even the Gula, it has to be preceded with this inyan of Bas Techayin. So what's this inyan? All right, so take a look at Torah Lamed over here. Again, we'll just see a couple pieces of it. It's really right. Okay. So the first part he quotes a Gemara, but again, we're not going to get to explain that. So let's just get to Ice Aleph. Okay, Hasagas Elokus. Hasagas Elokus, to experience Elokus, to be masik, to understand a little bit of Elokus, of the Rabbanu Shel Olam, which is the purpose of Pesach, right? When Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Parai and he says, you know, Koyamar Hashem, Bini Bukhar Yisrael, and so on, so what does Parai say? Lo Yidati Yisavai. I don't know what the Rabbanu Shel Olam is. I don't understand. So it's the whole inyan of Mitzrayim, of the Gula of Mitzrayim, of Pesach, is to be Zaychat HaSagas Elokus, to grasp Elokus. What does it mean? Ilo Haitzak Deshbaruch HaZavasinu Mitzrayim, you know, we would all be Meshubet to Parai Mitzrayim. Really? I mean, there would, you know, there would have been no way out of Mitzrayim ad hayom, and more than that, and that we have Chayv Adam Rishazatz Mekilu Yatsiv Mitzrayim. So the answer is on a deeper level. It's like, okay, whether you would physically be Mitzrayim or not, but the exile of Mitzrayim is the inability of the Jewish soul to experience godliness. Pari says Lo Yadati Hashem. To be Meshubet to Pari means to always be stuck in that place of closeness of like Lo Yadati Hashem. So the inyan of Pesach is in order to allow the neshama, allow the person, allow every Jew to experience a little bit of a taste of kiras elokim, to experience a little bit of godliness. So how does a person reach that? So he says, hasogas elokus yevshel lahasig kiyim aydei tzimtzumim rabim. So the only way for a neshama, for a yid to experience a little bit of godliness, then God is very, very big. So there has to be constriction. There has to be constriction after constriction. Mi'il la'olil, from one level to the next. Mi'seichel elyon le'seichel tachtoy. So he says like this. K'moish anorein b'chush. Like we see practically. She'yev shel lahasik seichel gadol. Let's say you have a very big idea, a very deep idea. So the only way to give that over and to understand it, even for the person himself, ki'ma de'hislab shuvs b'seichel tachtoy. It has to be first sort of constricted and packaged in a lower, in a more tangible way. And then from there, you could extrapolate out, right? So it's like, again, the mashal I've given before, it's a simple thing, right? So to us, it's like 1 + 1 = 2, right? But that's an abstract idea. We're used to it, Baruch Hashem, and our brains are able to process that, but that's an abstract idea. A little kid is not used to thinking in an abstract way like that. So how do you get a kid to understand 1 + 1 = 2 conceptually? The answer is you have to start with something tangible. One apple, another apple. How many apples do you have in front of you? 2 apples. And now imagine if it wasn't an apple. Let's say it was a candy. Let's say it's a cup of water. So slowly but surely, they begin to process the idea, the concept of 1 + 1 = 2. So 1 + 1 = 2 is called Seichel Elyon. That's called a big idea. That's called an abstract idea. But in order to enter into that, that idea has to be constricted into apples, into candies, into whatever it is, in order for the child to be able to be masig and to then climb the ladder from seichel tachtain to seichel elyon. So he says, kamei hamalamed. Again, he gives this example like a teacher. Kishoyt lahasber seichel gadol talmid. When a teacher wants to give over a big, again, a big doesn't mean complicated, it's more abstract, like an abstract idea to the talmid. Hutzorch lahalbish oisa b'seichel tachtain v'katan. He has to enclose it in a more tangible, in a more constricted idea. For the Talmud to understand it. So this is the idea of sort of like introductions. of hakdamas, v'sichlius ketanim, and smaller, more tangible ideas, shemesav v'leitchila, that you sort of arrange for the Talmud at first, k'dei lavina ideas ha'mechuvin, in order that the Talmud should be able to get to the point, shuseichel elyon v'gadol. Now the truth is, and at no point can the teacher really give over to the student 1 + 1 = 2 in concept. The kid has to just process it on his own. And that's the challenge. Sometimes kids say it takes longer, but you can give over one apple and one apple is two apples. That's tangible. So the nature of things that are, the nature of a seichel tachtein, of a tangible idea, is that, you know, b'derech klal, everyone can understand. And it's something that the teacher can actually communicate to the student. But it's really that, like, there's a leap that has to happen from the tangible seichel tachtein to the seichel elyon, which the teacher really is never giving over. That's something that the student has to sort of process on by themselves to a certain degree. You can say the words, but ultimately it's up to the child to process. That's why math is hard for kids, right? It's not because it's complicated per se. It's because it's too abstract, right? So you're talking about, and then deep down the kid isn't able to articulate. That's the issue. But very often that's the issue. It's not so. I mean, it's complicated too sometimes. But more often that the backdrop that makes that accentuates the complication and makes it feel overwhelming for the kid is the fact that the whole inyan is abstract. So because it's without a seichel tachtein. So that's what makes it very. It's not the normal way of learning. The normal way is seichel tachtein to seichel elyon. That's the normal way. Okay, but it's part of galus. Okay, so anyway, fine. That's the idea. Beis. V'tzorach alech levakish ma'id malamid hagen b'zeh. So in order for this to happen, so what's the most abstract, right? So 1 + 1 = 2 is already halbatzar. What's the most abstract idea? The most abstract is elikos. Is there, but it's the most abstract. So this is most important when it comes to experiencing elikos. It has to be done in this way of tzimtzumim, of seichel tachtein to seichel elyon, of a malamid, of a teacher, of a rebbe, and so on, giving over constricted ideas of elikos, but then like sort of plodding along and you know, sort of escorting the Talmud in this process to where the Talmud is able to absorb on their own the essential point. But this is the challenge. You have to be able to always keep in mind what's the point at the end, and also plot along, give proper seichel tachtein in order to get there. Because you could have one of the two, right? Sometimes you could have someone that's hyper-focused on the nekuda at the end, but ignores the process to get there. And sometimes you get lost in the process, and it's just seichel tachtein after seichel tachtein without really escorting the Talmud to the point. So you need a real good malamid is able to do both. So he says, v'tzarach kalech levakish ma'id malamid hokim kezeh. You have to daven a lot. A person has to look, has to search, and it also means to daven. A person has to search for a malamid that's able to do this. Shichalahazbir ulahavin oisai seichel elyon v'gadol kezeh. A Rebbe who's able to explain and to give over a seichel elyon as great as this, I know, sagas alakos, but again, in a way that that's led through seichel tachtein. He says, Kitzarach lezeh Rebbe gadol ma'id ma'id. Again, to be able, you need a very, very big Rebbe in order to explain the Seichel Gadol through the Seichel Tachtein. Again, do you need a Rebbe Gadol Ma'id Ma'id to explain the Seichel Elyon? No. Do you need a Rebbe Gadol Ma'id Ma'id to explain the Seichel Tachtein? No. You need a Rebbe Gadol Ma'id Ma'id to explain the Seichel Tachtein that leads to the Seichel Elyon. That's what you need a Rebbe Ma'id Ma'id. That's the chiddush. Kedesh yuchel laketanim lavinoi, that even small people, small stature, could be able to understand. That's the chiddush. V'chol mashu kodem biyoyser umeruchel biyoyser Hashem Yisbaruch. This is a famous idea. We've mentioned this many times. Rav Nachman that fakir, that the smaller the student, right, who tzarach Rebbe gadol biyoyser, all the more so, because that means the Rebbe has to figure out how to constrict the idea of elikus to even lower, more tangible. Tachtein, 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 but in a way that the breadcrumbs always lead to the point. It's a challenge. So he says, "Kamesh mitzino beishalay yisro b'madrega ketana ma'id." So he says, the example of this is what we find by Klai Yisrael. In Mitzrayim, they were on a very, very low madrega, as we know. Shoyim shakayim mem teshari tuma, So Hayitzrichim Rebbe Gadol Umalami Gadol V'Nar Ma'ay. So that they needed the greatest Rebbe of all time, Dehainu Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Hashalom. So he says, because again, if the goal is just to get a person to be a Seichel Tachtan, to get the Seichel Tachtan, then okay, Mishke Ferlach. The point is not Seichel Tachtan, the point is Seichel Elyon. But the Seichel Elyon you have to get from Seichel Tachtan, but you got to start from where the student is. So you need. So in other words, why? It's not just when he talks about the Rebbe that's Gadol Ma'od Ma'od. Right? It doesn't just mean like very articulate or very creative. We're talking about someone that you have to understand in Pinyas HaTorah and Chassidus. When the Rebbe is talking, when the Rebbe is giving over a Seichel Tachtan, the only way that Seichel Tachtan here. In order for a Seichel Tachtan to lead and to plot along the path to get to a Seichel Elyon, on a deeper level, it's not just a matter of the Rebbe, you know, being very creative and sort of, you know, making sure that step one leads to step two in a practical sense. That's true also, but on a deeper level, while the Rebbe's saying step one, he has to be holding also with the destination at the same time. It's not just you have to understand the basic principle. We're not just regular people, right? Yidden are not regular people, so we're not, human beings communicate with words. That's not how neshamas communicate. So when the Rebbe is saying over to the Talmud, a Seichel Tachtan, so the bodies, the human beings, what's being learned is a Seichel Tachtan. Okay, that's it. But that's not what's happening. In order for the Seichel Tachtan to then propel the student upwards to the next step, and the next step, and the next step, it means that even the Seichel Tachtan that's being communicated has to be saturated with at least the aura and the influence of the Seichel Elyon that everything is leading towards. And only then does the neshama that the student, only then does the neshama of the student, while hearing the Seichel Tachtan, feel from that experience a compulsion to move upward. Because even the Seichel Tachtan that they're hearing is saturated with the light of the Tachlis. You understand what I'm saying? So like, that takes a Rebbe Gadol Ma'od Ma'od, because that's someone that's able to literally be in two places at one time. The Rebbe is able to be at the destination and at the starting point simultaneously. That's Gadol Ma'od Ma'od. Because if the Rebbe is not in both places, then he's talking like a human being. Then he's giving over a Seichel Tachtan, he's giving over a small idea, a narrow, constricted idea, and so. And very often the student can be satisfied with that. You know, that's what very often gets lost in translation. When people talk about the Indian of, you know, what you find this in Chassidus. Again, you're all familiar with Chassidus already, so this is already it's like those people that understand it and truly are connected to Chassidus, this type of conversation, which I'm about to reference in a moment, is unbecoming. It's childish. But we understand that. You know, for those that are the uninitiated, so one of the inyanim of Chassidus that you sort of from the outside in that you look at and you see is like the hischaskus, right? The chizik and like the, you know, the chizik that's given over of like, you know, the Rebbe Shimon's with you and all these types of lashonis. Again, you're in Chassidus, you know that it's much deeper than just these inyanim. But that's so very often. Again, for those that are uninitiated and they're looking at it from the outside, the question is, well, you know, if you tell someone that the that they're Gevaldik, then they'll be satisfied with that. So what's going to push them forward? The answer is that when you talk to people like that, at least for me, I feel like we're talking a different language, Bechlal. It's not the same language at all. The question is coming from an assumption, which is that you're talking about human beings talking to each other. That's where you're coming from. So it's like, yeah, when human beings talk to each other, all that's being communicated are the words that are being said. And all that's being heard is the words that are being said. So memela, all that you have is that material. So if I'm giving you words of, you're not enough, you're nobody, you have to move weiter in life, then that's what's being heard. And if I tell you, you're gewaldig, you're amazing, the Rabbanu Shalom loves you, then that's all that's being heard. But that's because you're making an assumption that we're talking about people talking to each other. That's not how yidden work. That's not what it is. That's not how it is. Neshamas are talking to each other. When neshamas talk to each other, so neshamas are able to have. You could give over a seichel tachtein, but in the seichel tachtein is an experience of the seichel elyon at the same time, and that's not a steer at all to neshamas. So the whole thing is.
Sure.
100%. Well, that's part of it.
Does that stop with us?
No, because everyone has to. The nekuda at the end, the seichel elyon always keeps on moving, right? So this process is. Afilu kolanu chachamim, kolanu levainim, right? Kolanu yadim satayra. You always have to go through this process. You have to go through this process. Again, so obviously what the seichel tachton is depends on the kid. Because God is infinite. So it keeps on moving. It keeps on moving. But part of it is also believing. Part of the job of the Rebbe, that's Gadol Moed Moed, that he says what the Moshe Ben was like, Noira of a Gadol or something, whatever. The Rebbe also has to believe when he's speaking to the Talmud that he's not just talking to a person, he's talking to a neshama. And the nature of a neshama is a chelik of a Talmud al mamish, which is already open to receive the experience of Elokus. So it takes both. And the truth is, to a certain degree, it's the major responsibility is on the Rebbe. Because the Pasuk says, Kimayim panam al panam. So if a Rebbe looks at a Talmud and sees a human being, then the only aspect of the Talmud that's going to be looking back at the Rebbe is the human being. But if the Rebbe looks at the Talmud as a chelik alakami mal mamish, then the part of the Talmud that's going to be looking back is a chelik. Does that mean that all of a sudden, instantaneously? Well, even by Moshe Rabbeinu, it wasn't instantaneously, right? I mean, in the beginning, there was right? Okay, it takes time, but with time, the Talmud that the Rebbe is truly speaking to will emerge. But it takes time. It takes time. Huh? Ultimately, but ultimately, but I love five by yid. Yeah. That's part of the idea. They have to identify who the person is and to speak to that person. Sometimes you could talk. No, you could talk to Nefesh HaBamis. That's fine, but know who you talk. But understand who you're talking to. It's a very, it's a very important nekuda. That's how Nevi'im talked to Yidden. That's how it was. Why is it that the words of Nevi'im are recorded for all time? Because it's nevuah that's necessary forever. It wasn't just like happens to be necessary forever. When they were speaking to the generation, they were speaking to the aspect of the generation that's forever. They're speaking to the neshamas, and the neshamas are forever. These are the two sides. These are the two sides. The seichel tachton has to lead to the seichel elyon. So that's the idea. Okay, let's go. The lower the person is, the smaller the stature. Tzarch melamed gadol v'yaser needs an even greater rebbe. Because again, it's not just that you need a more articulate rebbe or a rebbe that comes up with like more props. You know, it's not the point is the rebbe has to be greater because he has to be able to be that much lower, which requires him to be attached to that much that's higher. Because that's the way it goes. The lower you go, then the level of elikus that was able to illuminate where you were holding, you know, it's like once you go below zero, right? I say you need to be connected to much, much higher numbers. Like that's just the way it is. The lower you go to remain illuminated, then you have to be connected to that much is higher. I think you understand what I'm saying. Okay, so he says, that they should be such an uman, a professional, an expert, that to be malbish, a seichel elyon dahenu asagasa yisbarach shemay lekadam ruchel kemaisai to such a low to such a small vessel, right? Kikom, so he gives an example. Kikom asha achayla nechla b'yaiser. If a person, Rachmanson, if there's a sick person achayla, the sicker the person, tzarech roif agaluyas, he needs a greater doctor. So he says, Al kain ein lo adam loimer. So a person shouldn't say, Dai li emayu mekur v'etzal ish nichbad v'yari Hashem. It's enough for me that I should become connected to a chashuv, a God fearing Jew. That'll be enough for me. Avshein emuflag b'mayil, even though he's not the greatest, you know. Ki halavai sheyim mekaydim kamay. Halavai should be like him, and then you know. He says, not al yomer. Can a person shouldn't say that? Ki adrab, it's the opposite. Kfi ma sheyeda inish benafshe. The more a person knows within themselves, goydel pechisusai, the goydel richukai, how distant they are, shenisrachik moed mashem yisparach, how far they are, kol echavecha kfi ma sheyedeh benafshe, each one according to their own understanding, ukmeikein kol ma sheyedeh ba'atzmi shuruch v'yoysis, so the more that you're aware of your own distance, tzarech levakish lenafshe, roife goydel moed moed, that's all the more so you need a greater doctor. Ha goydel moed v'yoysis, that's even greater, right? So, dahinu sheyachsir v'yivakish tamid lischeis liskarv la rebi hagadol ma'ed ma'ikanal. That you should always, do hishtadlus and daven and so on. That you should be makurv to a rebbe that's very, very great. That's in measure to this person's particular smallness. Kikom asher kodem b'yaiser, tzarech malami gadol b'yaiser kanal. Okay. So, okay. Then he continues on in this piece. Let's just say I don't want to get stuck. Okay, take a look at here. It skip the next paragraph, maybe. Let's go to the next one. Yeah, v'zebechinas. You see, v'zebechinas. I hope everyone sees. Yeah, we're good. Okay, v'zebechinas. Bas hoyselay l'Avram Avinu uba kol shema. So the Gemara says, the pasuk says. Right before when he looks for a shidduch for Yitzchak, right? So it says, "Hashem berachas Avram b'kol," right? That Hashem blessed Avram with everything. What does it mean with everything? So Chazal say, it's a strange. The Chazal say that Bas Hoysel Avram Avinu, that Avram Avinu had a daughter. Okay, no, never heard of this daughter before. Bakol Shema, her name was Bakol. Hashem berachas Avram b'kol. It's like a funny, Chazal. So he says like this, Bas. So now let's get back to what we said in the beginning, right? We said by Yitzis Mitzrayim. By the way, I think maybe it's I'll articulate it more. But like this is part of what's going on by Pesach. Again, the goal of Pesach is Hasagas Elokos. Yitzis Mitzrayim means to grasp godliness. That's what Yitzis Mitzrayim means, not just to get out of slavery. But the in Pnimius it means being Meshuvah Tapare meant Lo Yadati Es Hashem. Yitzis Mitzrayim means Zekel Maveu, right? That's what Yitzis Mitzrayim means. To know who the Ribbono Shel Olam is, kivyachol. But in order to get there, it requires tzimtzumim rabim. You have to go from seichel tachta and seichel elyon and so on. And that's what's going on by Pesach night. So it's like you have this, like in the Rambam also, like we spoke about this in years past, like the way the Rambam presents the mitzvah, Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim, is like this dynamic where you have on the one hand, like the Baal HaSeder, I guess, the Chacham, not the child, the father or whatever it is, like this group of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you know, like that group of being Mesaper, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and talking about the Inyanim and the very, very deep things. Mm-hmm. And then the Rambam says, like, and alongside that, there's a mitzvah of Leidia Labanim to communicate to the children, each one, Lefi Madrigasai, Chacham, Rasha, Tam, Shani Delishal, and so on. So it's like this. So what's being said is like two separate conversations. It's like one conversation amongst the adults. And that conversation is Seichel Elyon. And then there's another conversation between the parents and the child, which is more Seichel Tachtein. So it's like, that's not a healthy Seder. That's not, that's very often what, sometimes the tension that takes place by a Seder. Depends on who's there, you know. Sometimes there could be a tension amongst the people. It's like you could have like adults at the Seder that want to. Let's say they're you know, like I'm saying spiritual adults, right? Because you could have people that are 60 years old, also children. But like if you have spiritual adults, so if they're spiritual adults and they want to have certain types of conversations, certain type of meichen, right? And then like so there's kids, so it creates a tension. It creates a tension. Not it creates a tension between between the people. So the answer is is that, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned in the Haggadah. Why is Moshe's name not mentioned? So there's all different explanations, but one of the explanations is because guess who are you supposed to be at the Seder? You're supposed to be Moshe. You're supposed to be Moshe. Talk about Moshe. So the answer is, what does it mean to be Moshe Rabbeinu? It means this Nakuda. It's to be able to connect so deeply to the Nakuda of the Seichel Elyon, of connecting to the Rabbanu Shalom in such a deep, profound way, that when you communicate Seichel Tachtoins, it's infused with the light of the Seichel Elyon. And that comes with a recognition that even the sophisticated conversations that you want to have amongst your sophisticated chaverim is also a Seichel Tachton compared to the Rabbanu Shalom himself. So really, what's the chilek then? Right? So it's like keeping things in perspective. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, we're the adults and they're the children. Ki'ilu. Right? So, and if the Baal Shem Tov was by your Seder and the Vilna Gaon was by your Seder, then you'd be the child. You know, So it's not, everything's relative to begin with, right? So it's getting to that place of and what does this mean? And how do you do that practically? First of all, it starts with seeing the people that are sitting by you as neshamas. That's what it starts with. That's what it starts with, seeing yourself as a neshama, seeing the people as you with the neshamas. And then whatever you're saying, when neshamas communicate, then whatever is being said is saturated with the light of the essential point. Okay, it's like, most of the work is inside your own head. Practically speaking, you're saying the Haggadah, you're saying over to the kids, they're having a good time, hopefully you're having a good time. Like, it's in here. It's not, you know, there's a lot to talk about, but it's really just a matter of, trying to attach yourself to the Nekudah Pnimis, the essential point of the destination itself, which is the Ribbono Shel Olam, like Mamish, and recognizing that we're all, every Yid wants to get there, every Yid is in the process of getting there, and everything that I communicate ultimately is saturated with Hashem's light, because Hashem is everywhere. When you think like this, then words are communicated better. But that's what Pesach is. Again, that's why there's so many. Like, if you think about it, even the Seder is like this. We've mentioned this in the past as well. You have like Pesach matzah and mor, right? Like matzah zu sh'anu oichlem ashum ma. So it's like one apple, two apples. 1 + 1 = 2. It's like you're trying to communicate an abstract idea, but you're using tangible zachen to communicate it with. It's literally this process of seichel tachton leading to a seichel elyon. But you have to also know that you yourself are also a tachton. And then the gap between you and the child is not so great, right? It's like the famous story with the Baal Tanya. I've said this before, right? That a yid, it was a barchan, it was by chasana, the barchan started... And he said the following joke to the Baal Tanya. He said, the difference between me and you is not so great. So he said, there are things that the Rebbe knows that I don't know. He said like this, everything I know, the Rebbe knows. There are things the Rebbe knows that I don't know. But then there's many things the Rebbe doesn't know. And he said, when you compare the gap between what I know and the Rebbe knows, compared to the infinite gap between what the Rebbe knows and the Rebbe doesn't know, how much of a difference is there between me and you? And the Valtan started to cry, and it's Takachu. So it's like, that's what the Moichar of a Seder. So it's like, oh, you're the adult, they're the child, really.
The fact that the Valtan understood this is really low.
That's my idea, yeah. So.
Is that a
Hishat Tzimtzum? Of course. That's also part of it. But he also knows who he is. But again, that's the Hiskashras that's being made between the parents and the child, for the parent to recognize that, you know, it's just Madregas. It's just Madregas. How much of a difference is there? So he says, let's try to finish up. So he says like this. Zebuchines Bas Haisulev Avram Avinu Bakol Shema. Right? Avram Avinu had a daughter named Bakol. Bas, Zebuchines Bas Ayin. So again, this is, Bas is a reference to what's called Bas Ayin. Bas Ayin is the pupil of your eye, right? The black, the blackness in the eye. Shubachinas Hashachris Hanal, which is blackness. Now he's referencing something he said in the previous paragraph. So I'll explain. He says, umagvil v'koyla ba'atzmai kol advarm hagdoylam ho'imdun lenegdoy. In the pupil of the eye, what's called the basayin, even something very, very large becomes constricted into something very, very small that the person can process. Kegoyin, Har Gadol, let's say a big mountain, right? You're standing in front of Mount Everest, right? Kishayim lefnei habasayin, when the Mount Everest is standing in front of the pupil of the eye, Shua Shachar Shabayim, which is the blackness of the eye, Azay Nigbal Kol Ahar B'toich habasayin Shroi Oysay. Then the entirety of Mount Everest is constricted into a small little Mount Everest that the eye can process. And now once the eye sees that, and now it goes into the person's brain, now the person can conceptually process like how big Mount Everest is. But the actual large Mount Everest doesn't get into your head. First there's a smaller imprint of what Mount Everest is, and then you yourself can process how big Mount Everest is. So he says, as ki hashachar shebayin, this blackness of the eye, the basayin, humitzamsim kol advarim hagedoylem, v'nichnolim v'nirim b'toichai, it constricts and, you know, everything within it. Then you can understand what it is. So k'moy kein, that's the mashal over here. Zeh ha-seichel tachtoin, mitzamsim u'magbil ha-seichel agadol ha-elyon, v'nichol v'seichai. So this process of a seichel tachtoin, containing the seichel elyon, and here's this is again. It's hard for me to articulate this. It's only a few minutes. It takes a lot. It needs more time. The chiddush over here is that the seichel tachtein is not for the seichel tachtein to lead to the seichel elyon. The seichel elyon has to be the seichel tachtein has to be just a tachtentic version of the elyon. You understand? Not a piece of it, not just a mashal of it. The Seichel Elyon, the ultimate tachlis of who the Rabbanu Shalom is itself the Seichel Tachton, just in a Tachton version. When a little kid says Baruch Atah Hashem, right, and he says Hashem's name, who is he talking to? The same God that the Arizal was talking to. And he's saying the same words that the Arizal said. You understand? So when a kid says, like, when a kid eats matzah, right, like that's essentially the same mitzvah that Moshe Rabbeinu fulfilled when he ate matzah Pesach night. You understand? It's just seichel tachtein, but the seichel tachtein is not a new thing. It's like the adult is shaking with an esrog. So for the kid, he's a kid. So I'll give him an orange and a banana. Like that's not a seichel. That's a moshel, right? From there he'll get to it. No, that's not chinuch, right? That's not chinuch. Chinuch is he's doing or she's doing the same thing that the adult is doing, just in a tachtoin version. And is that so different from us? It's not so different from us. We're talking to the same Hashem. Everyone's talking to the same God with the same words. It's just extrapolating outward. When a kid says, when we read in the words like, or in davening, like Avinu, that Hashem is our Father, that's 100% true on all levels. Like any, when, however a kid processes that, whatever a kid thinks when he's saying Avinu Malkeinu, and whatever you're thinking when you say Avinu Malkeinu, whatever I'm thinking, whatever that's, whatever it is, it's true. But the words are true. It's Avinu Malkeinu. That's called a Seichel Tachtoin that constricts the Seichel Elyon, and from there you graduate upward. It means you don't lie to the kids. You don't tell them something that's, we don't, it's, our religion is not a religion that we have like Santa Claus. We don't just lie to them. It's, we tell them the truth. It's just the truth on their level. And then from there, it expands, sort of the layers become peeled away and deeper levels articulate. That's called the bas. That's called the bas. So he says like this. V'ideiz aroyinu mevinu masigna seseichel elyon hagadol hanal. And again, the way that, and way to, and when you help, to allow your neshama to help the child's neshama to graduate from level to level is by bonding with the child, again, on a neshama level, where your neshama communicates to the child's neshama, which is, I'm also figuring it out. You don't have to say that. It's okay for the kid to think you have it all figured out. That's fine. I mean, depending on the, at some point the kid figures out, you don't. But some, you know, while the kid's still young and they think that you're Superman, that's fine. You know, but in the neshama, you communicate with the kid, and the neshama is like, I don't know what it means Avinu Malkeinu either. I don't know. I know what it means on my level, but I know there's deeper levels beyond that. And I'm also trying to get there, so come along with me. It's kashrus. That's the main inyan. The main inyan of Seder night, of Pesach, is kashrus, is the bonding between the parents and the child, and the higher madrigas and lower madrigas, in order for this movement upward to take place, that the Reb Tarfin, Relazer, you know, the tzaddikim having their conversation, and the conversation of At Psachloi, and the She'eni De'elishal, and so on, it's the same inyan. Like, what's the big difference? It's all relative. The tzaddikim are also trying to figure it out. They're also At Psachloi. What do you think? The tzaddikim are also thinking that they figured it out. They didn't. It's also everything they understand, they sense, and they know that it's the Rabbanu Shem illuminating their eyes. So what's the difference between, so the father opens up the mouth for the Eni De Lishol, or the Rabbanu Shem opens the mouth of Rabbi Kivas and Afkamina, whatever. The point is, everyone's a Sheni De Lishol, so not, you know, so it's all moving up. That's the, so he says, all right, it's already late. Let's go back. This is the Bas. That's what I was getting to. They didn't have the Bas. The Bas, if you take a look at the next piece, you'll see also, this is the difference between a Ben and a Bas. Ben means, is a mashal for Seichel Elyon, the Nekuda, the point, the Redeemer, Moshe Rabbeinu. But you can't just have Moshe Rabbeinu in a vacuum. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't just appear. Moshe Rabbeinu appears through introductions, through hachanas, through steps leading to the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, through Bas Techayim. Through the Bas being focused on. And the Bas in this context, Ben and Bas, in this context, you'll see in the next piece, you take a look at it yourself, that Ben is a mashal to the Seichel Elyon, but the Bas is a mashal to the Seichel Tachtain that leads to the Seichel Elyon. And that's the Mahalach, that's what Pesach is, that's how redemption of Yitzhak took place. You don't just get to the, if you just focus on the Seichel Elyon, then first of all, the person's diluting themselves into thinking that they chap the Seichel Elyon, that's Aleph, and you're leaving everyone else in the dust. The answer is, this is the process. While the ben is Yorit HaShlichu, is hidden and mysterious in the river that you don't see, in that hidden world of Alma Deskasya, Kolabas Techayim. You're Mechazek and you build the system of Seichel Tachton after Seichel Tachton and graduating and graduating and graduating. And from there, the ben, that's Moshe Rabbeinu, is able to emerge, and then a Kuda HaPnimis of Yiddishkeit emerges, and then everyone realizes, Talk, we're all talking to the same God and we're all experiencing the same things all together. Okay, Hashem should bless us. We should zechut to Amunah, and the Redeemer should come back as Moshe Rabbeinu, Vizkal Tzedek, and Herev Yimeinu.